you so much, Miss Elizabeth. If I ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Thank you so much for that. Well, as we've been announcing, Dr. Scott Cottle, he's a wonderful, wonderful man of God. He's a blessing to everywhere he goes, and God is using him in a special way. As I mentioned already, he's the president of Macedonia World Baptist Missions, and his wife, Cassie, is here with him today. And he preached already in the 8:30 service. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing to the folks who are here, and I know that it'll be nothing less than that right now. But the best thing about him, he's a wonderful speaker, and he's a great he's a very congenial, nice person, but the best thing about him is that he's just yielded himself to the Lord and to be used of him. He's a true man of God. I thank God for him. Brother Cottle, why don't you come and preach for us? And what a joy it is to have you here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I know that the folks are going to enjoy getting to listen this morning. So, we'll get him fixed up over there. Now, I've got this list of things that he wanted me to tell you about him, that he's a well-traveled speaker, and I'm just joking about it. Did he get fixed up, Daniel? All right. God bless you. Thank you, Dr. Cottle, for being here. You're a blessing. Amen.
What a blessing. Turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of John, chapter number 6. John, chapter number 6. And in just a very few moments, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 of the chapter and be reading through verse number 13. Thank you so much, Pastor Herdman, for the privilege, for the opportunity, for the blessing of being a part of your services today here at the great Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Cassie and I have been made to feel so welcome. Thank you for the beautiful motel room, the comfortable place that you have given us to stay. And we mean that. If you have been blessed to stay in some of the places that we have been blessed to stay, you know that we appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for the beautiful gift basket that was awaiting for us when we got to the room. Your preacher and the staff here has just gone the extra mile to make us feel welcome. And then we have just relished the privilege today to get to know you. What a great church. What a wonderful group of folks. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being faithful. And we're just thrilled to be a part of the services today. On the way out today, we have something that we'd love to give you. It's Macedonia's latest magazine. We call it Focus on the Field. They're absolutely free of charge. And after the service, Lord willing, I'll be there to give you a magazine on the way out. And then the preacher asked if I would say a few things about the CDs. Since we have been in missions, God has blessed us with the CD sales to not only be able to put all the gas in our vehicle to travel, but to support missions around the world. And so all of the music that you've heard today is available on CDs. I wish I could give those away, but I don't go in a back room and record those. They're all professionally recorded, and they don't give me the studio time, so I can't pass along those savings to you. But Cassie will help you with that after the service. And I have several CDs. The Song by Faith is on a CD. Also have two different hymns CDs. How many of you say amen to the fact, I just don't think you can improve upon songs like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, and Living by Faith, things like that. I have two different hymn CDs. And then there's a CD out there called Acapella Blessings. And you may be wondering, well, preacher, what in the world is what I want to buy a CD that has no music on it? Well, the Lord laid this on my heart several years ago. I've always wanted to go into the studio and take a song like Wonderful Grace of Jesus, or The Old Ship of Zion, and something like that, and then sing the lead part, and then once you get the lead recorded, go back and sing the tenor, and then go back and record the baritone, then go back and record the bass. Well, the Lord allowed me to do that on that CD, Acapella Blessings. I think there's about 12 acapella songs, and on some of those songs, there's as many as 6 and 7 vocals. And I thought, Pastor, when I went in to record that CD, I'll save a lot of money on this CD. Don't have to record any music. I probably got more in that CD than anyone out there. It just took a long time to do. But I have that available, and I hope the music will be a great blessing and a help to you. And I want to say I'm so glad that my wife, Cassie, can be here today. When the preacher said a few moments ago that I would introduce her more formally, she nudged me and she said, "Don't you have me to stand." And how many of you know and can say amen to the fact, happy wife, happy life? I'm not going to ask her to stand, but I do want to say that I'm so thrilled that she's with me today. And I know some of you look at her and then you look at me and you say, how in the world could somebody like you get to marry somebody like that? Well, some of us have it and some of us don't. That's all I got to say. But we got married for better or for worse. I couldn't do any better. She couldn't do any worse. I'm so glad that she's here with me today. And we appreciate and love your pastor and his wife and his family. Boy, what a great day. You know, not only does Buffalo Ridge have the great history that you have, but my, what a bright future you have as you look to the Lord, as you follow the faith of Pastor Herdman. Isn't it a blessing that the Lord would send him and his family here? And we have just fallen in love with them and thrilled that we could be with them today and get to know you as well. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. If you're able, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? John chapter number 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remained, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now I want to encourage you this morning to leave your Bibles open, as all few points of my message will be taken directly from the 13 verses of Scripture that I've just been blessed to read within your hearing. And the reason that I say that this morning is this. It matters very, very little what Brother Caudle has to say, but it matters a whole lot what God has to say. Amen? And therefore, I want to preach on this thought this morning, the mission's message in the meal for the multitude. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we would all be very, very wise, not only to hear it, but to heed it, that we may be more like Thee. Lord, help me, I pray. I'm nothing without you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I have no doubt in my mind that each of you are at least familiar with a portion of the Bible that I've just been blessed to read within your hearing. However, I can assure you, friend, we should never allow our familiarity with this portion of the Word of God to cause us to lose the awe of its mission's message. I believe with all of my heart there is something here the Lord would have us to see. And therefore, I believe there is most definitely something here that you and I need to see, especially as the text applies to this matter of reaching others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, evidently the Lord wanted us to be aware of the truths found here in John chapter 6, because other than his bodily resurrection, this is the only mighty miracle of our Lord that has been recorded for us in each of the 4 Gospels. In fact, the feeding of the 5,000 besides women and children is the 4th of 7 miracles performed by the Lord that have been recorded for us here in the Gospel of John alone. In his previous miracles here in the Gospel of John, Jesus demonstrated his power, his purpose, as well as his position. But now, through this miraculous meal, the Lord Jesus declares his position, his personal identity as the one and only Savior of the world. As you study the Bible, you'll discover this mighty miracle actually provides the context for the first of the great I Am statements of the Lord in the Gospel of John. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15? There he said, I am the true vine. In John chapter number 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John chapter number 10, Jesus not only declared, I am the door of the sheep, but he actually went as far as to say, I am the good shepherd. In John chapter 11, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Jesus in John chapter 8 declared, I am the light of the world. However, here in John chapter number 6, the same Jesus that you and I read of broadening the bread is the same Jesus that would actually go on to say in verse 35 of this chapter, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's why I say again, there is most definitely something the Lord would have you and I to see here in the first few verses of John chapter number 6. I submit to you, these verses of Scripture teach us not only the purpose of reaching others with the bread of life, but these verses teach us God's plan for doing it most effectively as well. And therefore, for the next very few moments, I felt impressed of the Lord to share a few thoughts directly from your King James Bible, a few thoughts that I trust God will use to do much more than just challenge us. I pray this morning that God would change us, that we may be more like Him. First of all, as I look into these first 13 verses of Scripture here in John chapter 6, I see, number one, the problem. Now, according to the context of John's writing, at this point, the Lord Jesus has gone over the Sea of Galilee and a great multitude has followed him. If you'll notice in verse number 10 of the chapter, we are told that the men that were with him on this day numbered 5,000. And of course, Matthew's gospel reminds us that that number did not include women and children. And therefore, it goes without saying it's quite possible and highly probable that there could have been as many as 15,000 to 20,000 people here on this day alone. And of course, when you study the Word of God, you'll discover that large number of people was only a very small fraction of the problem. In fact, the Bible goes to great lengths to teach us here that the problem was actually threefold. First of all, notice the period is late. The time is late. Matthew, in Matthew chapter number 14 and verse 15, declares, and when it was evening. Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 6 and verse 35 says, the day was far spent. Luke's account of this story, Luke chapter 9 and verse 12 says, that the day had begun to wear away. And so I want you to understand this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the period is late. The sun is in the process of going down. Time is of the essence. Not only is the period late, but according to the Bible, the place is desolate. The disciples, according to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15 again, said to the Lord, Lord, this is a desert place. That is to say, Lord, the place itself offers these people nothing they need to sustain themselves. The place is desolate. And if that wasn't enough, there is a third problem. Oh, the period is late, the place is desolate, but the people, let me tell you about the people. The Bible teaches us they're hungry. That 15 to 20,000 people have been so preoccupied with staying with Jesus, they had completely lost sight of the fact that they needed food to sustain their physical bodies. The people were hungry. Oh, and as we consider this threefold problem here in the text before us, I believe with all of my heart, Pastor Herdman, we can see the threefold problem in our world today in light of the need to reach the world with the gospel. Let me remind you this Lord's Day morning, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the period is late. Time is running out. If we're going to do anything for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, please hear the preacher this morning. We best get busy doing it. Do you remember the words of our Savior in the Gospel of John, chapter number 9 and verse number 4, when he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Oh, the period is late. Spiritual darkness is looming. Let me tell you about the place in which we're living. The place, it's desolate. This world in which we are living is a spiritually desolate place. There is no lasting sustenance here. That is exactly why our Savior would go on to say in verse 27 of this very chapter before us, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. The world is built upon things that are temporal as opposed to the eternal things of God. This place, this world in which we are living, spiritually speaking, it's a desolate place. Oh, and hear me, Christian friend. God sent me here to remind you, church, the people outside these four walls, they're hungry. And I can only imagine what some of you are thinking. Some of you are wondering, come on, preacher, the world doesn't look hungry to me. In fact, it looks like it's indulging in sin. And certainly I would say amen to that, but have you ever taken a few moments to stop and ask yourself why that is the case? Why is it that the world outside these four walls is in the process of indulging in sin? Well, let me answer that by asking you a question. How many of you know this morning that for every eternal morsel of heaven's bread our Heavenly Father offers this world, the enemy will always have a substitute? Just as God has a plan to reach the world with the gospel, the enemy has a plan to keep that from happening. And the enemy knows that he cannot dispose of heaven's bread, and therefore he is out to dilute it by offering the world a substitute. And the greater majority of the 7 billion plus people of this world, most of them having never heard of heaven's bread, has tried to satisfy that deep longing in their soul for eternal things with the temporal things of this world. That's why the drunkard has to have another drink. That's why the druggie has to have another drug. The people are hungry and they're continuously trying to satisfy that spiritual hunger with the temporary things of this world as opposed to the eternal things of God. That's why we must offer them the latter of the two. God has us here. God has Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in Gray, Tennessee, so you can offer Gray, Tennessee, your state, your country, and yea, even the world with the eternal things of God. The world needs the gospel. The people are hungry. Oh, your lost neighbor would never tell you that, but he or she is hungry. Oh, that lost coworker that you work with day in and day out, he or she would never tell you that. But God sent me here to remind you that if you were to really get to the heart of their problem, you would know that they're hungry for the spiritual, the eternal things of God. And so we see the problem in the text. However, we not only see the problem, but do you remember, secondly, the proclamation? Do you remember the proclamation in light of the problem by the disciples? Now remember, there are 15 to 20,000 people that are hungry. The hour is late. And they're in a desolate place. According to Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 15, the disciples respond by saying to the Lord, Lord, we got a problem here. And here's how we think we need to handle it. send them away. You remember? That was their proclamation. Send them away. Lord, there is an overabundance of need and an underabundance of supply. Lord, the demand far exceeds the supply. Lord, send them away. The disciples' proclamation in light of the threefold problem, the same proclamation, ladies and gentlemen, that so many of us as God's children make today when it comes to world evangelism, when it comes to personal soul winning. Now, Lord, we've read our Bibles. We've read Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 where you said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have heard Pastor Herdman say time and time again, where there is a creature, God intends for there to be a preacher. But Lord, there's 7 billion people in the world. And since we can't reach all 7 billion, we're not even going to try to reach any. So, Lord, send them away. Every time the missions offering plate passes and we fail to give our faith promise, we fail to put that missions offering into, you know what we're saying with our lives? We're saying the same thing the disciples said here in the text, send them away. Every time we miss an opportunity to pass out the gospel tract at the Walmart, at the pharmacist, I'm telling you, we're saying not only with our lips, but even more importantly, with our lives, the same thing the disciples said here in the text, send them away. Lord, I'm uncomfortable telling my lost loved ones about Jesus. I just don't feel comfortable passing out gospel tracts. It's one thing to talk about you at church, but while I'm at work, while I'm at the grocery store, while I'm at the family reunion, Lord, I just can't do. Send them away. The disciples' proclamation in light of the threefold problem, send them away. But aren't you thankful, number three, God had a plan. God, I felt Jesus on that. I think I'll back up and say that again. God had a plan. Just as sure as God has a plan today for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and for each of us as a part of the family of God to take the bread of heaven to a lost and dying world. And so can we address this question? What does God's plan involve? Well, when you study the Bible, you'll discover that God's plan involves 5 things. First of all, God's plan involves a lad. John chapter 6 and verse 8. Watch your Bible with me. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, Lord, there is a lad here. In light of the threefold problem, Lord, there is a lad here. Now, can I call your attention to what the Bible doesn't say about this lad? Sometimes when you study the Word of God, you'll discover that there's a great message in what the Bible doesn't say. Let me tell you what the Bible doesn't say about this lad. The Bible doesn't say, Lord, there is a strong lad here. Your Bible doesn't say that, no. It just says, Lord, there is a lad here. He could have been strong, but then again, it could have been weak. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say, Lord, there is a smart lad here. Now, he could have been smart. I have no doubt he probably was. He was certainly in the right place at the right time to be used of the Lord in the fullest capacity, wasn't he? I have no doubt that he was smart. But then again, I don't know. Maybe he was a few French fries short of a Happy Meal. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say that he was a smart lad. Hey, the Bible doesn't say he is a good-looking lad. And I told that crowd during the 8:30 service, I'm glad the Bible didn't put that in there, because if it was only good-looking people God used, then he'd never use me. Please don't say amen right there. I think I heard an amen from Brother Daniel down here. It isn't just good-looking folks. I told them in the 8:30 service, I said, some of you are thankful we're wearing masks now. You look better with a mask on. Amen. But the Bible doesn't say, Lord, there's a good-looking... No. Now, he could have been, but we don't know because the Bible doesn't say that he was a good-looking lad. No, the Bible just said, there's a lad here. Lord, he's just a young, insignificant in the eyes of the world, lad. Lord, we don't even know his name. Isn't it amazing that the Word of God never records his name? There is a lad here. Isn't it amazing this morning, ladies and gentlemen, before you or I either one read about a mighty miracle of God feeding the multitude, you read about one small, young, insignificant, at least in the eyes of men, lad being willing to give what he had in order to make a difference in the lives of others by faith. God wasn't interested in what this lad did not have. God was interested in what he had. Can I say to each and every one of you in this church service this morning, God's interested in what you have as well. As I look out over this congregation this morning and this great looking number of people, isn't it a blessing that I don't have to say, well, this brother right here looks like he's a real go-getter. I mean, look at him. Betty, he's dressed for the part. He's dressed to the hilt. He looks great. He looks strong. Boy, I guarantee you, God can really use him. Well, God can use him, but I can come right here to this young lady on this third pew. God can use this young lady, and I can come over here to some of us older folks, and I can say, listen, if you're 20 years old or 120 years old, if you're alive and kicking and breathing and you make yourself available to be used of God, God will use you to a great extent. If you would just be willing to say, Lord, there is a lad here. I want you to know this morning, and I made this statement in the service earlier, I believe it bears repeating. I don't want to miss saying this because I believe some of us in this building need to hear it. God isn't looking for capability. God is looking for availability. If you make yourself available to God, God will make you capable of doing things so great, so mighty, so wonderful that only He could get credit for doing it. And Pastor, even as I make that statement, I'm in my mind's eye taking a trip back to my senior high school class when I told my senior high school English teacher, now you're going to have to give me extra credit because I'm not doing that oral exam, so I'm not going to stand up in front of anybody and do anything. So since I'm going to make a zero on the oral exam, then you just go ahead and give me some extra credit. Let me stay after class, whatever. I'm going to have to do good on the homework because since I'm going to make a zero on the oral exam, I'm going to have to work harder in other areas because in the state of North Carolina, I don't know how it is in Tennessee, you don't graduate high school English, you don't graduate. So I said, since I'm going to fail the oral exam, you better help me with some of this other stuff because I ain't standing in front of anybody and doing nothing. And here I am all these years later, standing in front of these folks at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, telling you that if you make yourself available, God will make you capable of doing so great a thing, so mighty a thing, that nobody, and I do mean nobody, can get credit for it but God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it's getting looser here in this service. Some of that crowd in the 8:30 service must have been backslid on God. I'm feeling pretty good preaching this service again, amen. Hallelujah. There is a lad here. God wants to use all of us, our working, our giving, our soul winning, our laboring, to make a difference in the lives of others. God's plan involves a lad. Secondly, God's plan involves a lunch. Do you see the lunch here in the text? Andrew tells the Lord, according to verse 9 of our text, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Can I ask you, do you see the lunch? God wants to use this lunch. And isn't it amazing how the Word of God goes into great detail to teach us about this lunch? The Bible just doesn't say, here's a lad here and he has a few things that maybe could be used, things to eat. No, the Bible goes into great detail to teach us about this lunch. Five barley loaves. Not just any loaves, but barley loaves. When you study your Bible, you'll discover in John's day, barley was used to feed the poor. Barley was used in some cases to feed the animals. Again, not just any loaves, barley loaves. Everyday, run-of-the-mill, average, insignificant at best, barley loaves. And then not large fish, but two, what does your Bible say? Small fishes. Why, it's no wonder when you study the Word of God. Andrew tells the Lord in verse number 9, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? But how many times when you study your Bible, you'll discover God uses small things. God uses insignificant things to produce large results. Do you remember how that in the book of Exodus chapter 2, God used the cry of a little baby to move the heart of Pharaoh's daughter? Do you remember in the Gospels when Peter denied the Lord, God used a rooster to bring Peter under deep conviction to the point that he was eventually moved towards God? Do you remember God used a shepherd boy and a stone and a sling to remove a great big giant? God used a starving widow to feed Elijah. God used manna from heaven to feed and to speak to 2 million of his own people. It's no wonder then the Bible asks the simple yet sobering question in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? Oh, listen to me, child of God. God wants your little lunch. God wants your ability, your talent, your resources. Oh, it may be small in the eyes of men, but God is able to take your lunch, your life, your offering, your service, your family, your work, and multiply it to the point that it makes a huge difference in the lives of reaching others for the glory of God. God's plan has always involved a lunch. And then, of course, we know from the text God's plan includes and involves the Lord, because we not only witness the Lord blessing the bread, John 6 of verse 11, we also witness the Lord breaking the bread, and then we witness Him broadening the bread as well. God took a little and made it much. God took insignificant and turned insignificant into significance, just like God took a shepherd boy by the name of David. What a story. What a story there. Do you remember when God burdened the Old Testament prophet Samuel's heart to go to Jesse's house to anoint the next king of the nation of Israel? You remember that story? Samuel goes to Jesse's house. He had filled his horn with oil and he was going to do the bidding of the Lord. And he shows up at Jesse's house and Jesse's firstborn walks out. Samuel takes one look at his stature, one look at his outward appearance, and Samuel says, oh man, this has got to be him. This is the one. This is the next king of the nation of Israel. I have no doubt in my mind. He pops open the horn of his oil. He starts to pour the oil out, and God says, oh, wait a minute. You're looking on the outward appearance, but I'm able to look beyond the outward appearance and see the heart of a man. This is not him. And so they parade the next one of Jesse's sons before the prophet. And God says, nope, this is not him. The next one, nope, this is not him. He goes through all the sons that Jesse has there at that prayer meeting that day. Samuel says, man, Jesse, God's not going to anoint any of these. Do you have any more children? He said, well, I tell you, I got a little old boy out there guarding the sheep. But I didn't even think of enough about him to ask him to be here at the meeting today. Samuel says, you go call that one. So God brought in a little fella. A little Bible says he's a little ruddy fella. His name is David. And when the Old Testament man of God saw David coming towards Jesse's house, God said, arise and anoint him. Only God could take a little shepherd boy and turn him in to the greatest king the nation of Israel would ever known. God is able to take insignificant and turn it into significance. You remember reading about a fellow by the name of Saul? Saul of Tarsus, at one time a fierce persecutor of the early church. But one day he was on the road to Damascus. He had within his grasp papers that assured him that he had the power from the government to arrest any Christians he came in contact with. But on the road to Damascus, God arrested the heart of Saul of Tarsus. And God would eventually change Saul of Tarsus into the Apostle Paul, who would eventually go on to pen 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament of our Bible. God is able to take your lunch. God is able to take your little. God is able to take our insignificant and turn it into significance. You remember what God did with a fellow by the name of Jacob? Oh, I love studying about Jacob. A great majority of the book of Beginnings is about this fellow by the name of Jacob. I don't know. I may preach about him tonight. I'm not sure what I'm going to preach about if the Lord stays this coming. But I have a message that I preach. No more Jacob. God took a Jacob, which means conniver, schemer, manipulator, trickster. And God would not only change his name from Jacob to Israel, God would change his entire personality. Oh, he was far from perfect, but God took a manipulator and changed him into a prince with God. God is able to take little and make it much. God is able to take insignificant and turn it into significance. I want to tell you, that's what we ought to desire for the Lord to do with each of our lives as well. God's plan has always involved the Lord. And then, of course, God's plan includes the layman, because John 6 and 11 says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. God wanted to use his disciples to distribute what the people needed. And he certainly did. And brother, that says a whole lot. Because when you study the Word of God, you'll discover at this point, these disciples were far from what God intended them to be. Remember, these disciples were the ones that said, Lord, send them away. They were faithless men, faultful. They were failing men at this point. Yet, it was to these faithless, faultful, failing men that God gave the bread and instructed them, the faultful men, to distribute it amongst the people. And I want you to know that's what God wants to do with our lives. That's how God longs to use us. And so don't tell Pastor Herdman after the service today, preacher, I can't work that bus route because you see, I'm just an imperfect person. I just can't. Well, listen, if God demanded perfection, none of us could serve him. None of us could live for him. We're all faultful men, but God specializes in using such men to distribute the bread of heaven. God's plan has always involved the layman. And finally, God's plan has always involved the leftovers. Of course, you remember the story again. After the Lord blessed the meal, he not only broke it, but he broadened it as well. Our text says in verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, watch your Bible, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now how many of you would agree when I say that was a pretty good return on this little lad's investment? God took a little lad with a little lunch, fed a large multitude to the point that they had a whole lot of leftovers. 12 basket. One basket for every doubting disciple. One basket for every tribe of the nation of Israel. And therefore we could say it like this morning. God not only fed the multitudes then, but He still has plenty for whosoever will that will come today. Here's why you can reach your lost neighbor, your lost friend, your lost loved one with the bread of heaven. Because God's not running short of bread this morning. There's a place at God's table for your lost friend, for your lost neighbor. Oh, would to the Lord that each of us would make ourselves available to Him so that He in turn could use us to reach the multitudes with He that said, I am the bread of heaven. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me? The preacher is coming, and he's going to close the service as he sees fit. But can I read you with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed a few verses of Scripture out of Luke chapter 14? In Luke chapter 14, the Lord Jesus spoke a parable that was intended to drive this final point of my message home. He said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they, all with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I want you to know this morning, child of God, there's food at God's table. There's water in God's well. Though millions have come, the songwriter said, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Why? Because God's plan includes the lad, the lunch, the Lord, the layman. God's plan includes the leftovers. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, I pray as Pastor Herdman comes to close the service as he sees fit, that each and every one of us would be willing to surrender our lives and our lunch afresh and anew so that you, through us, can continue to make an eternal difference in the hearts of lives of people that you shed your blood for on the cross. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, preacher.